in the series Invest. And last week we talked to you about the glory of your story. And I hope you've shared your story with someone this past week. I know a few of you have because you've sent me emails about how God's been moving and how you've seen fruit from sharing your story with other people. You know, because I don't preach this stuff just to get rousements. I want you to actually shift into what God's calling you to do. Amen. If I preach and there's 5,000 people in here and everybody's shouting and nobody changes, I fail. I preach so that God will shift you into your destiny. Somebody say amen. I've changed my opening text. Sorry, Scott. Sorry, media team. The Lord took me a different direction this morning, but I feel it is an appropriate direction. And so I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19. Beginning with verse 19. Are they worth it? Have you ever said, you know, they're just not worth it? I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor Ronnie, they're just not worth it. God says they are worth it. God believes everybody's worth something because He formed them in their mother's womb. He created them for a purpose. He put love inside of their heart and His spirit, which cries out, Abba, Father. So the people we don't think are worth it, God loves. God wants to see saved. God wants to see healed. God wants to see shifting and moving in their ultimate purpose. This is what the Apostle Paul says. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who were under the law. To those who were without the law, Gentiles, everybody say Gentiles, as without the law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who were without the law. To the weak, I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. You see, I believe that the church has rejected unity and embraced uniformity, where we can't accept someone from another denomination. If you're an evangelical, you stay away from Pentecostals. If you're Pentecostal, you judge an evangelical. We're separated by denomination. And because of that, we eat with people that are just like us. We do things with people that are just like us. We have no friends outside of our own political party. We have no friends. Now, I'm not speaking for me on this one, but for some of you. You have no friends outside of your own race. And that's a shame in 2018. And we're divided. And you want me to preach a message every Sunday that fits with your way of thinking, with the denominational mindset that you have. But the reality is the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, for God so loved the world, that includes everybody. God is not an American, although I'm a patriot. God is not a Guatemalan, but He loves Guatemalans. God is not just a Jewish God. He is for all people. And He died for all people. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks down walls. It breaks down barriers. It's to reach everybody. And so as Christians, how do we move from our normal way of living and doing things into an atmosphere where we can truly reach someone for the gospel's sake? What does Paul say in our text? He says, I become all things to all men for the sake that I might win some. You see, if I go preach to a bunch of students in the inner city, I'm wearing my Air Jordans. The original 13s, red and black with the hologram on the side. Am I being a sellout? No. A, I like Jordans. And B, I become all things to all men for the sake that I might win some. If you were to be put in a room with people who are completely different from you, then ask the Holy Spirit to give you a topic that you know you can all agree on. The Holy Spirit will transmogrify and change you into that which brings Him glory and reaches people for the gospel's sake. What the enemy wants to do is keep us divided as a nation so that the gospel will be hindered and that it won't be spread, so that people will stay lost and on their way to hell. And we've taken the bait and we've allowed society and media to keep us divided for too long. And we need to come together in unity so that the gospel can go forth and the gospel will be preached. So I want to challenge you to get outside of yourself in this season that we are in and try to love someone that's different from you. As I've said all the time, don't neglect someone just because they sin differently than you do. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not approving of sin. I'm not condoning a lifestyle of wickedness. But I also know that none of us have arrived. And why don't you try loving that person that is so hard to deal with? We've all got them. Amen? I have them, and I know it can be difficult because you want to just punch them right in the throat. But the Bible says, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. And I believe if we'll start modeling this, the Spirit will fall on our church. Let me read you some statistics. 34 million Americans say they are not affiliated with any religion. That's only about 15%. Which tells me we are very religious. But being religious doesn't necessarily mean you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. 33% say they are spiritual but not religious. That's why some of you are so worried about it getting weird in here and running people off. Most people are okay with weird if it's real. 73% of born-again Christians, when asked, said they have a personal responsibility to share their faith with others. But less than 50% of them actually did it once in the past year. No one shares their faith anymore. And the reason I believe they don't share their faith is not because they're disobedient or dishonorable to God. It's because they are not in environments where they can share their faith. Because they are hanging around with people just like them. It would do you some good to have a relationship with a homosexual. It would do you some good to have a friendship with a homosexual or an atheist and go to lunch sometimes. Now, I understand we're to be in the world and not of it. And some of you that have just recently been saved, you can't go places that will pull you back into your past. And I understand that. There's a season of separation that must occur after you get saved. But for many of you, it would do you some good just to try to dialogue with someone that's different from you. I asked a woman some time ago, she was about to be baptized, and I asked her how long she had been attending our church, and she said she'd been attending our church for nearly 2 years. And I said, I just have to ask you, you know, what took you so long to be baptized? What took you so long to join or come in covenant with Abba's House? And she just told me some of her story. She'd been divorced, she'd been abused as a teenager, and all of these things had happened to her. And she said people told her that she'd never be accepted by the church crowd. And it took her 2 years to realize that the people of this house would love her no matter where she'd been or what she'd done. And as I've said many times, when the word gets out that we'll love people and point them to Jesus, we'll be in full-on revival. And I'm starting to feel the winds of the Spirit just a little bit. Somebody say amen. The last month, I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost start to blow through this city, and God's starting to promote our people, and favor's coming, and God's doing some amazing things. And I'm grateful. I'm sad, though, that there are so many that need what God is doing here that aren't here. I'm thankful we've got one of the best churches in the region. And we can coast if y'all want to. Give God a shout of praise. We can coast. We can chill. We can do what we've been doing. Or we can get serious about sinners. But I can't force you to do it. All I can do is say, this is God's body. And you're a part of this body, and you need to find something to do to contribute to the kingdom of God. There lies your blessing in your contribution. Your blessing lies in your contribution. You will not be blessed on the sidelines. We have enough people who have opinions about what we need to be doing. I need a few more that actually want to do something. I need you to find a place to get involved in the city. You know, I've encouraged our staff, find something to do outside these walls that'll bring glory to Jesus Christ. Join a committee, join a club, a social gathering. Be involved. We need you if we're going to take back our city. Why should you share your faith? Because they are worth it. They're worth it because God says they're worth it. You should because Jesus Christ compels you. Some of you say, well, Pastor Ronnie, I'm already going to heaven. My family's going to heaven. I've been in church 37, 40 years, and I know the Bible. I've taught Sunday school. Why should I tell others? Not only because God says to, but because you'll be judged for it if you don't. You'll be judged by what you've done with Jesus. Apostle Paul talks about a platform called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Our eternal destiny has already been decided when we stand on this judgment seat. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good and bad. Now, who will be the judge as we stand on this platform, this Bema seat, Everybody say Jesus Christ himself. So God's going to judge us. This isn't about getting into heaven, amen? Whether you're going to heaven or not, you're going to have to give an account for what you did with Jesus. This ought to scare you. This ought to scare you. If you love your gifting more than Jesus, that's a problem. If you love your sports team more than Jesus, that's a problem. If you love your wealth more than Jesus, that's a problem. If you love your addiction more than Jesus, that's a problem. If you love your religion more than Jesus, that's a problem. If you love your political party more than Jesus, that's a problem. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end. He is the only one that loves you unconditionally. He is the only one that can change this nation. He's the only one who can save a sinner's heart and a soul for eternity. And the Bible says, and don't get mad at me, read it for yourself, that we will stand on this bema seat and we will be judged. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If any one's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So why the bema seat? Why would a loving God include a bema seat in eternity? To show us what we've done with our lives. To test our works. This test is by fire. Only that which is solid will remain. The fire tests not only what we did, but why we did it. The bema seat is so that we will view Jesus not only as Lord and Savior, but as righteous judge. So God's called us to follow the example of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5, Jesus Christ was a teacher. Do you teach? In 6:9, he challenged us to pray. Do you pray? In Matthew chapter 8, he healed the sick. He said later that greater works we will do. Do you promote healing in your own body or in the body of others? He's called us to follow him. But his ultimate mission was to seek and save that which is lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. You are a part of that mission if you know Jesus Christ. I was talking to Brian before the service, and him and Shelby do a wonderful job hanging out with people who are different than them, who believe differently than they do. And they were ministering to one atheist, and she hasn't converted yet, but she sent them a note recently, and the note simply said, "Thank you for showing me who the real Jesus is." And I want to celebrate these kinds of stories because people need Jesus. Paul would say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes." For everyone. There's power in sharing the gospel. Why? Because they're worth it. They're worth it. Remember when someone shared the gospel with you for the first time? You were in sin and you were in bondage. The first time you heard those words of freedom and you realized that you could be cleansed from everything that you'd ever done. and that you could live a new life, a life of grace, a life of abundance, a life of hope. Boy, I do. And now the fruit that came from that decision is beyond everything I could have ever imagined in my mind's eye. Because God does supernatural things. But it starts with accepting a simple message, a message of God's grace and love. I know this isn't as deep as I normally go, but as we were preparing, Pastor Angie and I, for the Life Group curriculum, we decided to talk about investing during this season. I had a series on the Old Testament prophets. I'd have put y'all all to sleep. Don't get excited. I'm preaching it next year. But we went into this series, Invest, because I really believe our church is strategically at a point where the Holy Ghost his winds are behind our sails. And we're about to take flight. And I don't want you to miss the favor that God has for your life. I really believe God is opening doors for you to share your faith. Let me ask you this, and I don't want to shame you this morning. We talked about the glory of your story last week. Has anyone, you don't have to tell me what you did with the opportunity, but has anyone had an opportunity this week to share the gospel or to speak life into somebody? Anyone? Look at all that. Give God praise and glory for that. So now we're at a place where we can recognize the needs in other people. The Spirit is doing that. So now we have to take it one step further. And we've got to be willing to share the gospel with them. The gospel is the most simple message ever preached. It's that you were a sinner. You were born in sin. The flesh is sinful. But God sent His Son Jesus to redeem you. He redeemed you and saved you by dying on a cross, which was in accordance with every Hebrew prophecy written. He got up out of the grave on the third day, and He reigns victorious at the right hand of the Father. And He speaks to us and to His body, the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your conscience, it's the Holy Spirit. God is breathing, He is speaking, He is moving like never before in this nation right now. You just have to be able to see it, flow in it, and walk in it. It's the kingdom message. You must understand that Jesus preached a kingdom message. And I'm getting to a place in my theology, Joey, where I don't believe it's going to be those who preach the gospel and those against the gospel in the end times. I believe it's going to be those who embrace kingdom and those who don't. Kingdom is a completely different thing than what you've been taught. It's looking at things from money to finances to relationships to sinners through opportunities. It's looking through those things through the lens of Jesus and seeing a kingdom. It's being able to see the gold in 2 tons of dirt. It's being able to see the value in something that the world has thrown away. It's having the mind of Jesus Christ. It's knowing who to covenant with, who to connect with, where to go, what to do, who to have a relationship with, who to align yourself with, and who not to align yourself with. It's a completely different culture and political party. It has its hierarchy and it has its king. His name is Jesus. And we must embrace the Beatitudes and the way of doing things that Jesus has called us to. Quickly, church growth experts say that most evangelical churches have 1/3 mature believers. I think we're higher than that here. 1/3 seekers and 1/3 new believers. Why do people visit a church? Is it media? Is it marketing? Is it reputation? Is it size? Is it the beauty of the building? No. You know why people come to church? Because somebody cared enough to invite them. Because somebody cared enough to invest in them. That's why people come to church. Because somebody that was already saved and understood kingdom wanted somebody else to have it. That's why people come to church. Why should you come to church? To get filled up with the Spirit of the living God so you can go out and live free and fully alive and be a light in a dark world. To be the salt of the earth. You should come here to get power from the Holy Ghost so you'll be a witness, an Acts 1:8 witness. I want to challenge you to do some things between now and the end of the year. Number one, involve yourselves in the lives of other people. Not people who look and act just like you. Everybody write this down. Tweet it. Write it on your forehead. Write it on your bulletin. Write it on Sammy's head. Just kidding. I just wanted to pick on Sammy. Write it down. It's a challenge from your pastor. Don't tell me how smart you are. Tell me who you're investing in. The Bible says this. Colossians 4 verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. Everybody say, I need an open door. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, people who are different than you. Walk in wisdom to people who are outside the kingdom of God, to people who are outside your way of thinking, to people who are not yet saved. Walk in wisdom. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You see, some of you are more concerned with winning an argument than you are winning a soul. You can be right and be wrong. Instead of winning the argument, why don't you shift your mind to a kingdom way of thinking and worry about winning a soul? Because Jesus didn't call you to win an argument. He called you to win people. And I'm thankful that everybody in here is right. Include me. The reality is God didn't call us to be right. He called us to be right with Him and other people. And it's time we stop playing church and start doing something in the kingdom of God. Involve yourselves in the lives of other people. Ignite the culture around you through good works. Through good works. I didn't say dead works, I said good works. How do you know the difference between dead works and good works? Dead works produce nothing. Good works produce a harvest. If what you're doing in the city or in your personal life is kingdom work, then it's going to produce a harvest. If what you're doing ain't getting anybody saved, what are you doing? Man, am I being too hard? I'll smile more. I'll get my Joel on. Ignite the culture around you through good works. It says we're the salt of the earth. Salt is a purifying agent. It also was a means of monetary exchange. It was worth something. But it says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then it says, we're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know what I love about light? It shines in the trailer parks, It shines in the gated communities. The light shines in the inner city. It shines everywhere. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men. That's what I want to challenge you to do. Number three, ignore the whispers of the enemy. You'll never do anything if you keep letting the devil tell you you're no good, you're a liar, you're a loser, your family couldn't do it, you're a failure, you'll never go anywhere, you'll never be anything, you've missed your opportunity, you're too old, God can't use you. The devil's a liar, a murderer and a thief. You know why you've been through it so much? You know why you've been attacked the way you have and criticized the way you have? It's because the devil is deathly afraid of your anointing. The enemy is so afraid of what you might become that he's trying to kill you early, because he knows when you realize who you are in Christ, that you are a new creation, that you are anointed, you are appointed, you are gifted, and you are tailor-made for the kingdom of God. When you figure that out, demons will start to flee. Haters will run. A table will be prepared in the presence of your enemies, and they'll be serving you. But you've got to understand how to rebuke the devil. When the enemy comes knocking, you remind him that he is a loser. Remind him of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remind him of what the Bible says, that he will not leave us orphans. Remind the enemy that he is a failure, and his failure is final. And if you'll do that, the enemy will stop messing with you. But he'll never stop messing. If he can't get to you, he'll go to your family. If he can't get to your family, he'll go to your friends. If he can't get to your friends, he'll go to your church. If he can't get to your church, he'll go to your place of business. So you've got to have your armor on at all times. But you've got to understand that the enemy is powerless against you if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to walk in the power from on high. That power that can make a way out of no way. That power that'll change you and shift you, give you another language, and move you into your destiny. God wants to bless you. Number four, you've got to invest in the lives with whom you have a desire to share. Some practical stuff. How should you share your faith? Some principles. First, be intentional. You've got to be willing to go where people are. How are you going to lead somebody to Jesus if you never go anywhere where people are? Now, I'm bad about this because I'm turning into an introvert. Anybody else having that problem? I used to make fun of my dad all the time. But like, for Halloween, I did the invite night thing that we challenged y'all to do, and I met my neighbors. I felt like the worst neighbor ever. Like, because we've been living there a few years, and I think I knew one neighbor. Like, Kelly's great. She's like the neighbor nerd. She's got carpool stuff organized and all that weird stuff, you know. And like, I guess it's because I do people 24/7. When I get home, I really don't want to do people. But it was a blessing, man, to get to meet people and tell them about our church. And I was amazed at how many people knew who we are and watched us on TV and all these kinds of cool things. And so I challenge you to invest in people with whom you have a desire to share. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be willing to be where they are, listen, and not just give them your rehearsed religious answers. If they ask you a question you don't know the answer to it, don't try to be spiritual. Just tell them you'll get back to them. Be respectful. Don't just be intentional, be respectful. Let me tell you, you're never going to change anybody's mind by being mean to them and being ugly to them. And they may be stupid, but you don't need to tell them they're stupid. Why? Because it's a kingdom way of thinking. We're trying to see these people come to Christ. We're trying to get them to fall in love with Jesus. Amen? That's what we're trying to get people to do. And we've got to see that same passion. Paul had it. Paul was a Jew's Jew. He was educated, man. He would make us all look foolish. A rabbi, a theologian. And God calls him to the Gentiles. Calls him to people who are different than him. But he understood there was a kingdom way of thinking for this to be accomplished. And that is, I become all things to all men for the sake that I might win some. So how do you do that? Can't you find some common ground with people you disagree with? Sure you can. Focus on that. Why? Because we become all things to all men and women for the sake that we might win some. That's the purpose of it. You got to be wise. Holy Spirit makes you wise. Finally, I close here with a challenge. Invite people to come to Christ. John chapter 1, verse 35, and the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Two disciples heard him and they followed Jesus. See, sometimes if you'll just give God the glory that he deserves and you can recognize God for who he is in a situation, you don't even have to share Romans Road. When people see the power of God, the authentic move of God on your life, they'll just start following. But are we being authentic? Are we being real? Are we being true to the Scriptures? Are we being who God called us to be? Are we being consistent in our walk with God? Then Jesus turned and seeing them follow him, he said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." See, I love this little story here. Because the first thing you need to identify with a person that's unsaved or that doesn't know Jesus Christ is what they're after. Are y'all with me? Are y'all awake? What are they after? What do they seek? What are their goals? Maybe their goal is to be rich. Talk to them about the kingdom of God. Talk to them about the prosperity of God. Maybe their goal is to be off drugs or alcohol. Talk to them about the liberty that we can have in Jesus Christ. Maybe their goal is to be promoted. Talk to them about the Scriptures of God. All Scriptures God breathed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman to be not ashamed. I'm trying to teach you kingdom thinking. Everybody's seeking something, even unsaved people. And it's important if you're going to lead them to Christ to figure out what exactly they're after. Because in everything they're after, Jesus is at the core of it. Do you understand that? He created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of this earth. So whatever worldly things people are seeking, he's at the center of it all. So you have to find out what they're after. And so then they wanted to know where Jesus was from. Just like the woman at the well. She started asking questions about which mountain to worship on. Jesus was just trying to get her saved. And what did Jesus say? Come and see. So say you start sharing your faith with somebody that's lost. They don't know Jesus. You get to a place where you don't know what else to say to them. How do you respond? Come and see. Is anybody with me? Do we need to start serving Red Bull? I know we do for Adam. He loves Garth more than Jesus. Y'all pray for him down here. I'm just picking on him. But here's the situation. Come and see. What am I asking you to do the next few months? Angie's going to preach on the power of sacrifice next week. She'll be awesome. I wrote it for her. No, I'm just kidding. She wrote it herself. I'm just picking at her. I want you to invite people, man. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Y'all answer me now. Come on, what's it going to take? All I'm asking you to do is tell people three words, come and see. Just come and see. Come and see what God's doing here. Come and feel the presence of God here. Come and see the miracles here. Come and see people getting baptized here. Come and see what our groups do. Come and see what our leaders are doing in the city. Come and see. That's all you got to do, and the Holy Ghost is going to take care of the rest. You got to invite. You got to ignite. You got to invest. And you got to invite. Why? Say they're worth it. They sure are. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning. They're worth it. They're worth it. Because Jesus died for them. They're worth it. Because Jesus loves them. They're worth it. Because His grace endures forever. His love never fails. They're worth it. Because Jesus preordained a path for them. But He preordained a path for you. And your job is to help get them on the path that He preordained them to. So how do you do that? You invest, you ignite, and you invite. Maybe someone invited you to church today. Glory to God. Maybe you don't know this Jesus I speak of. Let me tell you, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is Christ. He is above all. He comforts us through the power of His Holy Spirit. He is our deliverer, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. And long before anyone was promoted to a king, or a prince, or a president, He was King of all kings. And He loves you. He loves you so much that when mankind failed, He sent His Son, Jesus, to redeem mankind. And Jesus died for you on the cross according to the Scriptures. Rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible says all you have to do is accept this free gift of His grace. That's why we exist as a church. We're not an entertainment club. We're a house of grace. And if you're broken or addicted or hurting in here this morning, you say, Pastor Honey, I'm not at peace with God, but I want to be. I'm in no place to invite because I've listened to the voice of the enemy and I need Jesus in my life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I want to challenge you to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need Jesus in your life, just say, Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer in just a minute, I want you to run down. Talk to one of these pastors. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to parade you in front of people. We're just going to give you some information to get started. I'm going to ask our pastors to make their way down. But many of you are saved here this morning. But you haven't led anybody to Christ ever or in a very long time. In a very long time. And if you haven't led anybody to Christ, Angie will take care of you, ma'am. If you haven't led anybody to Christ in a long time, then maybe it's time that you ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with His fire again. Because let me tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost and you got the tingles, but you don't share your faith, what do you really have? Because my Bible says that you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you to do what, Brian? To be a what? To be a witness. Amen? So forgive us for embracing all the gifts of the Spirit, but not teaching you to be soul winners and disciple makers. Because that's what God's called us to do. Reach people for Jesus Christ and to teach them how to disciple other peoples. Forgive us. If we've said, hey man, come get filled with the Holy Ghost, fall out, speak in tongues, run 4 laps, but don't tell anybody about Jesus. Forgive us if that's what we've taught you or that's what the enemy's twisted you into believing. Because our job is to make you a soul winner, man. So I want to pray for you today. That God would put a boldness on you to share your faith, to invest in people that are different than you, to ignite fires of revival everywhere you go, in the workplace, in the Walmart, in the schools, at the ball fields, in the basketball gyms. We need revival. People need to repent. We need Jesus in this nation. So I'm challenging you to receive an anointing of boldness in this house today. I'm going to need some more intercessors down here facing the audience. If I could have a few. Brother Kirk, you're great. Come on down here. Joey, come on down here. You got a heart for evangelism. Come down here and face everybody. You step in for Mr. Jones today. Joey will pray the Baptist Holy Ghost on you. I got enough people up here for everybody. I want you to stand on your feet today. I want you to come down if you want a fresh anointing of boldness to share your faith, to invest. I want you to get down here right now. We're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to believe that the power of God will fall on you to be a witness like in Acts 1:8. Heavenly Father, this is your message. This is your word. This is your church. Lord, we need revival and we need fire. Lord, we need a shift in this place. Lord, we need people to get off the couch and off the recliner and start telling people about Jesus, start loving people different than them. Lord, shift it by your Spirit this morning. Do what only you can do. Teach us to love people. Teach us to invest. Teach us to ignite. Teach us to invite. Teach us to be proud of what you've built here, what you've called us to do, who you've called us to be. Ah, because it's your kingdom, Lord. It's your power. And it's your glory forever. You come, get anointed this morning. Get filled up this morning. In Jesus' name.